So we've been in a series for a few weeks now. Somebody walked in this morning and they said, hey, I hope we're still in the Moses series. Phrases I thought I would never hear in my life, right? But we are. We're still in the Moses series. We have this week, we have next week, so we have two more weeks in this Moses series. And we do series here at Crossroads that go over a season of time so that we can dig a little more deeply, that we can hit on something a little harder, that we can find a little more information. And Moses is really one of the most influential characters in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible. He's one of the most important characters that we find, and not because Moses comes with all of these gifts and he's amazing. It's because Moses is humble and is willing to do what God asked Moses to do. And he leads a group of people in a really powerful way. So I want to give you some background in case you missed the last 2 weeks or in case you forgot, which is safe. That's okay. So there's a Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh makes a decision that he wants to get rid of all the Jewish babies, especially the boys, because he thinks the boys might rise up against him. This Jewish little boy is born, Hebrew baby. They put him in a basket. They want to save his life. Pharaoh's daughter takes him. She adopts him. He grows up in this community. He ends up taking someone's life because he sees them being beaten. He leaves the community. He goes out 215 miles away. He sees a burning bush. God calls him. He becomes a sheep herder. He goes back to Egypt. He comes from Egypt, he leads the people out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and that's where we are today. Okay? Everybody up to speed? You got it? Don't clap for me. That's where we are today. That's the story. So they're out and they're on the run. The people are on the run from Pharaoh because while Pharaoh told them they could go because of all these plagues, and Pharaoh didn't want to deal with these plagues anymore, while Pharaoh told them they could go, Pharaoh yet again changes Pharaoh's mind and says that's not okay. So they're on the run. These people are out in the wilderness, and Moses really says to God, God, I know you have something for us, but I don't know exactly what it is at this moment. So the best thing for me to do is to take the people back to the place where I connected with God the most, Moses is saying, which is back to Mount Sinai, back to the place where the burning bush was at the bottom of the mountain. So that's what Moses does. It takes them 3 months to go 215 miles in the desert. So the people do that. They head out, they're going, and Moses wants them to directly hear from God what God wants for the people. And that brings us to the moment today. Now, when Moses gets to Mount Sinai with the people, God says to Moses, I want you to come to the top of the mountain. I have something for you. And that's where Moses gets the Ten Commandments. Now, I'm wearing this shirt today. It says, I was there. Mount Sinai. We're going to have these shirts reprinted for those of us that actually hiked Mount Sinai, because I wasn't just there, I climbed Mount Sinai, okay? 8 hours in the middle of the night, up a mountain and back down. So here's what I know about Mount Sinai. It's awful. It's exhausting. And it was dark. Shockingly, they don't have streetlights going up the mountain, right? So I thought about it every step that I took. Oh my goodness, Moses hiked up this mountain and somehow comes down with these two big blocks that have the Ten Commandments on. It was impressive, y'all. It was absolutely impressive to think about the fact that he went up and back down the mountains. Now I'm gonna talk today about the Ten Commandments, and some of you, your first thing you're saying is, isn't that a kid's lesson? Yes, and. Others of you are saying, great, I can't wait to hear about all the laws the church is going to talk about. Stay with me for just a minute. I hope to give you a little bit different perspective. Because when I was a young kid and when I would hear the phrase, the Ten Commandments, all I thought about were rules. These were things that I could not do, and if I did them, I would be in trouble. I was going to mess up. In fact, I even grew up in a tradition that would sometimes say, if I broke these rules, heaven wasn't a possibility for me. So we're going to give a different perspective on this. I want to help you walk through this and understand. Years ago, Susan and I were told about this show, and we were told about it time and time again. And we were a young married couple, and at this point, I think, we had one kid at this point in time, and we didn't really have time to do much of anything. And then Susan found out she was pregnant with twins, and we had no time to do anything, except when we went in the hospital. We went in the hospital, Susan was in for a week, and I, of course, stayed in with her for the week, and people had told us about this show, Lost. Have you guys heard about the show, Lost? So people had told us about this show, Lost, and we got it on DVD. Some of your children have probably never heard of those things, right? But we got them on DVD and we sat in the hospital room and we watched this show Lost, episode after episode. It was so funny. The nurses would come in and the nurses would say, hey, what's going on now? I'm like, I don't know, but I hope somebody's not dying down the hallway, right? Like, so this show Lost, if you don't know the background of the story, there's this plane, it's from Australia to New York. It crashes in the middle of the South Pacific on this island. And on the island, it opens up and things are just chaos. I mean, the plane is burning. People are running around. Some people have lost their lives. Some people are seriously hurt. Things are not good. And what happens is the human condition kicks in and somebody goes and steals all the medicine, right? All the medicine from everybody's backpack because they were like, that'll give me an up. And somebody steals the food and somebody else steals the gun that the, who's the people on the plane that... Yeah, you get it. Okay, they steal that, right? So people have these different aspects. And there's this character who's the main character in the show. His name is Jack. And Jack says, stop. We cannot live in community if we don't share. We cannot live in community if everyone's going to take everything from everyone else. We cannot, and he starts going through these things, and I said, oh my goodness, that's the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are not this set of rules and laws that everyone has to follow. The Ten Commandments were written and designed for the Israelites so they didn't end up back in slavery. They were written and designed for them so that they could live in community together, so that they could be together. And I'll tell you, ever since I saw that TV show, I've never thought about them the same. Never again have I thought, oh, this is another one of God's rules. Because remember, later in scripture, somebody comes to Jesus and says, I've memorized all the rules. And Jesus says, really, there's just one, right? Love God with all of who you are and love your neighbor as yourself, which I would say that's two, but Jesus gets a pass, right? So what are the Ten Commandments? I do think they're important for us to understand if we want to navigate how we live together in the midst of community. So we're going to look at Exodus 20. It's a little long, so bear with me. It says, then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that's in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother. Some of y'all are going, So that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's some of y'all's favorite commandment, right? You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or male or female slave or ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. 3 months ago, the people, these Hebrews, these Israelites, were slaves in Egypt. And now here they are. They find themselves in this place where God gives them these 10 laws or 10 commandments. Because what God knows is that if they're not careful, they're going to end up right back in slavery. They're going to become slaves to themselves. They're going to have leaders that step up and lead them in a way that doesn't allow them to be free. It is going to be problematic before them. Now, before you look at these 10 commandments and say, well, I don't do any of those. I've got community all perfect. I'm going to spend some time walking through them this morning. And we're going to see where we end up. Hopefully, some new perspectives. I'm going to look at one and two at the same time. You shall have no other gods before me. Do not make an idol for yourself. So here's where this comes from. The Egyptians worshipped many gods, right? In fact, they would carry these idols around as their gods that they would believe had power in them. But what God knew was those gods had no power. So what would happen is they'd carry around these gods and then things wouldn't happen. And then they'd be really disappointed and discouraged. So God didn't want them to have that. Now you may say, Tim, I come to church. I only worship one God. Let me ask you a few questions. How's this thing? Is this anybody's God? Because I know when I can't find mine, sometimes it's sitting right on the table. I have a panic attack, right? What about your job? How many of us would do anything in the world for our job and drop everything? Does their job become a God for us? Or our 401k? Or, I mean, frankly, even our family can become a God for us. We're willing to do anything in the world. What God knows is that each of those things will ultimately at some point in time disappoint us. Each of those things will let us down. So God says, have no other God. It sounds like God is super egotistical. I don't think that's right. I think that what God knows is that there's power in worshiping God. All right, here's the third one. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. When I was a kid, we had to say, oh my gosh, right? We couldn't say the phrase. That was what using the Lord's name in vain was. But I think it's broader than that. I don't think it's simply using profanity or saying God's name in vain, because, I mean, that's not great, but I don't know that that really hurts God. I think it's more when we use the name of God to get something we want to happen, right? It happens in our culture, in our society all the time. People are constantly using the name of God. God told me this, and if you don't do this, this is gonna happen to you. God said this. I recently posted something from Anne Lamott, a graphic on my thing. It says, you can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. Yo, that should hurt. That's using God's name in vain. In the Jewish culture, they often will not say the full name that they have for God because it's so precious and so important that they don't just willy-nilly throw it around. That's where that comes from. It's not because using the Lord's name in vain is, you know, that God's so vain that God can't handle it. What it is there is power in that name. And when we use it to harm other people, the harm can be incredibly great. Pay attention to that. Here's the fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. How many of y'all in Northern Virginia actually rest? Your body needs it. Your mind needs it. Your soul needs it. Your heart needs it. You need to take a day off. You need to recreate. You need to worship. This is from God, because what God knows is that we need it. Our kids are learning a frenetic rhythm of life from us. Do you know that? They're learning that it's go, 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 go all the time. And what God says is no, your body needs to rest. I need to work on this. My wife needs to help me work on this. Can you help me work on this? Okay, good. She says yes. But seriously, in the process of trying to do all the things, we're killing ourselves, friends. We need to rest. We are not good in community. If you have not had a good night's sleep and you come into work the next day, are you chipper and kind? No, right? You're short, you snap, you jump on people, you jump on your family. We need to rest to be better parts of community. Okay, here's the fifth one. Honor your father and your mother. Again, some of you guys are like, yes, right? Tell my kids that. Say that when my kids come in for the blessing, right? Actually, this was written for my generation for taking care of my parents. Adam Hamilton, who wrote that book, Moses, says this was God's original Social Security plan. To honor your father and your mother. Now look, kids should be respectful to fathers and mothers, absolutely. To your parents, whatever that looks like for you. But here's the big deal. We are called to care for our elderly parents. We're called to do it. It's what God says to us. I mean, they cared so deeply for us. We are called to respond to that. Okay, number six, do not kill. I'm not gonna spend a lot of time here. Do you get this one? It's not within our rights to take the life of another human being. Sometimes I think God said this one specifically to Moses. because it had just happened, right? He had just done it when he was back in Egypt the first time. He took the life of someone. Now, there are going to be accidents. There are going to be defensive wars that are fought, absolutely. But God's strategy is that we don't take someone's life on purpose. That breaks community. Would you agree? Okay, thank you. Okay, number 7, do not commit adultery. Now, this one's interesting. God is hanging out in a cloud above them, right? Literally hovering above them. And God says, hey, y'all, stop that. Don't do that. Don't commit adultery, because what God knows is that when that happens, it breaks relationship in the midst of community. Now look, Jesus comes later and Jesus has a lot of grace in the midst of those moments. But a few years ago, there was this Ashley Madison site. Do you guys remember that? That came out, and there were lots of people that were putting their information on there, and they were going out in lots of different ways. And the motto of that site, their phrase was, life is short, have an affair. That was the phrase. Listen, I'm not coming in about judgment, about that happens in people's lives, but I'm coming in to say, you want to find a way to break community? Do that. It breaks the sacred community that exists in the midst of your community. Pay attention to that. Number 8, do not steal. Now, when I was in first grade, I stole a candy bar. Confession. I was in a store. The lady was on the phone. I just took it and walked out, right? My parents made me go back. They did the right thing. But I want to tell you another story that's even better than that. I got a message last night from a parent in our church. They said that my kid took some beads from a classroom last Sunday when they left. And he is super, super worried that you're going to take him to jail tomorrow morning. And they said, really, he can't even sleep because he's so worried you're going to take him to jail. And I was like, well, I am really mean, aren't I? So I sent a little video. And I said to this kid, like, first of all, thanks for bringing him back. Isn't that awesome that you did that? And I said, second of all, your church is not a place of punishment. Your church is a place of grace, right? And you are loved, and I can't wait to see you tomorrow and give you a high five. There is grace in it. Yet, friends, when we steal from a neighbor, we break community. And you may say, I don't steal, right? I don't take things. Come on, some of y'all go into the grocery store, and you grab your bunch of grapes, and you eat one before they check out, don't you? I know it happens. And they're not even washed. That's not right. Or maybe it's cheating on your taxes, right? And reporting something greater than what it was, whatever it is. Again, this was not a, if you steal, you're a horrible person. This was a, if you do this, you're breaking community. If you sell a car to your neighbor and you know it's got problems and you don't tell them about the problems, that hurts community, right? So pay attention to that. Here's the next one. Number 9, do not bear false witness. Originally, this was about court and about going to court and saying something happened or didn't happen that did or didn't, you know, telling a lie in that way. But really, gossip, isn't that bearing false witness against people? Isn't writing things on social media that's unkind bearing false witness? Isn't standing out in the hallway or in the parking lot after church and saying, hey, did you see that person sitting in front of us? They looked awful. That's false witness, right? How do we do that in the midst of community and still have community? How do we do it? Again, friends, if we look at these and we simply say, well, these are all the laws that God gives and church is all about laws, that's not what this is about. This is about freedom. When we don't do these things, we are more free to live a life in the midst of community. Here's the last one. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Oh, I feel like they wrote this one for Ashburn, right? Y'all, I struggle with this. Maybe it's not their house, but it's certainly their green grass, right? Maybe it's not their house, but it's that new car they just drove home, right? Maybe it's not their house, but it's the way their kids don't fight when they get out of the car, right? Maybe it's not their house, but it's. And here's the deal. If I'm just sitting here coveting what my neighbor has, how can I love my neighbor? If all I'm doing is going, I want what they have, how can I care for them? How can I be in community with them? See, this not coveting your neighbor's house thing is about so much more than I just want their four walls. Not coveting your neighbor's house is about being content with what you have in the place that God has you, and not worrying so much about what your neighbor has. Because again, I remember some time ago, we had three cars that were each, I think the newest was 15 years old or something like that. And our neighbors got a new car, and I could just not figure out how they did the math. I could not for the life of me go, how in the world can you do that? And I was jealous. I said, I bet their car starts every time when they push the button. I bet they're not afraid to go on vacation in that car. But I could feel myself going, well, something's wrong with them. Right? Why do we do that? Why do we place ourselves in that place in community? So the question is, how are we doing with these? Anybody want to stand up? No, I'm just kidding, right? But how are you really doing with these? How are you doing with living in community with other people? It might convict you of something this morning, right? It might say, hey, I need to really think about the way that I interact with them. We're going to, in just a minute, we're going to have a prayer video for the kids, and we're going to invite all the kids in, and we're going to pray for them. But we're going to give them this little backpack tag that says, you got this. You got this. And if I could tell our students anything this year, it would be, hey, take a peek at the Ten Commandments before you go to school this year. Because they will help you live better in community with one another. They will help you care for one another more. They will help you connect with one another in a more beautiful, beautiful way. Moses comes down from the mountains with the Ten Commandments to the Israelites after being up there for 6 days. And I get why he stayed for 6 days after making that hike up, okay? 6 days he stays up there. And the people say, okay, we're going to do it. They enter this covenant relationship with God. They say, we're committed. We're going to make it happen. God says, bring the elders up the mountains because somebody else needs to hike too, and we will share a meal together as a covenant meal. And that's what we do when we do Holy Communion, which we're going to do after the blessing for the students. That's what we do. We come together because we say, all right, today we're going to covenant to be in community together, to care for one another, to walk with our elders, to love them, to connect with them, to spend time in community with us. Friends, if people have used the Ten Commandments in the past in your life, either from a church or somebody else, to hurt you or to put you down, I invite you to release that. I invite you to become free from that. They're not meant to keep us down. The Ten Commandments were designed and meant to help us live in community with one another and with God. I hope you'll take some time this week to reread them. Exodus 20, second book of the Bible, to go back and look over them again and connect with those things and see how can we live in community with one another together.